Well, good morning to you. Most of you know me, but if you don't, my name's Charles Strange, and I've been a member of this church since. Well, it's been a long time. And as I said earlier, I was married in this church in January the 22nd, which was a Sunday in 1961. I know it. Okay, but I chose this scripture this morning, which is basically, it's just the Lord's Prayer. And you know, in my life, I wonder how many times in my life I've repeated that. But then I think, do I really understand it? Have I really paid attention to it? But this morning I'd like to make three points about this. As Jesus was explaining how we pray. The first point is that when you pray in secret. You go into your prayer closet. You close the door by yourself, just you and God. Now, why is that? Why would He do this? When we pray, we open up our innermost being, all the secrets of our life. We're not going to do this in an open public forum, but we need to do this. We do this with God only. And this is why He directs us to do this. You know, sometimes we can confuse praying and worshiping, which they're really two different things. You see, prayer, we can pray corporately, as we did a while ago, which this is fine. This is what Jesus is saying. But each of us, now this is when we really get down to the part of my life. You see, when I tell God everything about myself, which He already knows, but I need to confess that. And that's what it's for. And I'm not going to stand up in public and do this. Nobody else will. This is why Jesus said, when we do it, we go into this closet and we pray to God alone. So everything is open. He knows everything about us. And the second point is that we can't impress God with words. You know, I could stand and talk for an hour, or I could pray for an hour. But words do not impress God. You see, it's what is in the heart that impresses God, which He knows already. You know, I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, and we had a couple of men in this church. You know, when I was a child, my heart would sink when one of these guys were called on to pray, you know, because it would probably be 30 minutes. But, and now they were good people. Don't miss them. I'm not knocking these people. But you see, this is the thing. What God is saying, that we can't impress Him. We can write the most flowering, glorious prayer in the world, but we can't impress God with that. You see, I impress God with what's in my heart. What are my thoughts? What are my deeds? See, these are the things that impress God. And this is what Jesus is saying. You know, there's no need to do this, because God, the Creator, you know, He knows what I need before I ask Him. I don't have to keep beating on Him. You know, if somebody wants me to do something, they probably have to beat a while, you know, to get me to do it, or because I could forget or just not do it. But God, thankfully, is not like that. What God says He'll do, He'll do, and He'll do it when He says He'll do it. And this is a great part of our prayer. You see, when we pray to God, we tell Him right to the subject. What did He say? You know, very short. But it covers everything. It covers everything. And then the third point that I would like to make is the hard one. This is the hard one. And this is the one that gets most of us. He says, you forgive my debts as I forgive my debtors. Without my forgiveness of my fellow man, then there's none for me. See, God can't forgive me. And you think about this, who is my fellow man? And this is where it really gets to be a rub. You know, in this last year, September 11th, the things that happened in this country, how can you forgive anybody for that? You know, it's so really think about it. It's hard. You know, if a person hurts me, my first instinct is to strike back. You know, I'll teach you a lesson. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. But that's not the way it is. You see, I have to forgive everybody. Now, you say, well, how do we do that? I might do things that I don't know. Oh, we do know. We do know. It's just like our mind is just like a computer. See, everything done is recorded. It's right there in our mind. Every single thing. And years ago, I was studying this one time, and I really began to understand what God was saying. And I said, well, you know, I probably need to forgive a few people. Well, I'll tell you, it took two complete nights. Every person, I saw their face, exactly what I had done, you see, or what they had done to me, each and every one. It's all recorded. But when we forgive other people, then we're open to accept or to receive God's forgiveness. And there is no way to salvation without God's forgiveness. Now, you know, the guy, Osama bin Laden, how do you forgive a person like that? You know? How could the world forgive a person like Adolf Hitler? Theodore Bundy. Think about it. See, God doesn't say we forgive some people. He said we forgive them all. And that's a hard thing to do. That is hard. And I know we all face that every day. You know, because all of the world is not a nice place. Everybody in the world is not nice. Everybody in the world does not like us. But see, the thing that makes a Christian different than anyone else is the forgiveness. You know, when all this took place last year, you know, I went out and I bought myself a Quran, which I guess would be an Islamic Bible. You know, see what it said about me. But that forgiveness is not in there. It's not there. But that's the thing that makes us what we are. See, when Jesus came, he came to explain to the world. Because see, the world was living in the old religious order, very similar to what the Muslim religion is today. You know, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You hurt me, I hurt you. That's the way it was. But when Jesus came, and Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, he said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. That is the wrong way. This is the right way. This is the way we do it. And you know, each and every one of us. I'll a good example. You know, I used to, before I retired, I worked in Quincy. You know, I used to drive, come out Thorpe Street, Capitol Circle, go to Interstate 10 and go, you know. And very few mornings could I make it to Interstate 10 before I needed to forgive somebody. Believe me. You know, because somebody's going to cut you off, you know, run the red light, whatever. But see, that's every day in life. But what do these things do to you? You know, when a person cuts you off in traffic or runs red light, you know, sometimes you say, I just really like to bang him. But you say, no, we can't do that. The forgiveness, I think, is the hardest thing for human beings to do. You know, you said, well, we think about war. You know, I grew up, you know, was growing up with World War II. I remember these things and all the stuff was going on, you know, and all the rhetoric, you know, and the dropping of atom bombs on Japan. And the things that Japanese did to Americans, the things that Germans did. And I'm sure we're not totally innocent in things either. But the Jewish people, you know, how do they forgive Germans? How did the people die at Pearl Harbor? How did their relatives and family forgive these people? But I'll tell you an example of forgiveness, and I thought that this was very appropriate. You know, you have been advertisement and you know, talking about the trial in Massachusetts where the fathers of two kids playing hockey got in a fight and one killed the other. Well, the man that died at the trial of the man that did the killing, the man that died's father came up to him and forgave him. You know what? There's no better example. Now you think about that. You know, somebody kills your son or daughter. How do we do it? You know, how can we find within ourselves to be able to do it? When every fiber of your body wants to do just the opposite. We want to do just the opposite. But you know, I think about what Peter said. They were standing out by the temple, and a man came by that had some affliction. And one of the others, you know, made the remark about the man being a sinner that caused the problem. And I remember Peter, he said, but for the grace of God, there go I. And Leonard deals with people that have done things. I mean, really have troubles every day. People that go to prison for life. People that pay with their own life sometimes. And how much different are they, most of them, than we are? You know, what separates us from them? The grace of God. The grace of God. But for that, you know, I could be the same place. And God forgives me, but He also calls on me to forgive everyone. That I have any, if they did anything to me, or I thought they did, or whatever. You see, that clears my heart for forgiveness. Without that, there's no other way. Now, this is not my word, this is the word of Jesus. He said, this is what you got to do. And you know, I would hate to say in my life, in my 63 years, how many times I've repeated the Lord's Prayer. You know, going to school, you did it every morning. When I was growing up, you know, you did it in church. Yeah, it's just impossible to say what these few little verses really mean. And that we're not to make a show of our religion. Is that we're to live our life in a way that people know. We don't have to get out and make big proclamations about this or that or what we do or what we do. See, people will know you by the way you live your life. That's what Jesus is. But as I would like each of us to think, you know, if we think back in our life, who do I need to forgive? I think about it every day. You know, I come from Irish ancestry on both sides, with a few other things mixed in. And I don't know that that's a good thing, but you know, most of my life I had a pretty volatile temper, you know. And it can really get you in trouble. The thoughts that we have. The very thoughts we have about other people. That they can really convict us. But Jesus says, if you forgive your fellow man, then I'm faithful and I will forgive you of all of your sins. And that's a promise. And God keeps His promises. You know, sometimes I think we think of Jesus as the Son of God. And that's true. But Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He came to live as a man. To experience the same things that we do. The same trials, tribulations. And, you know, to explain the Holy Trinity, you know, it's hard. It's hard for us intellectually to understand that. You know, a tripartite being. You know, but man is in the image of God. Man is a tripartite being. We have the body, the soul, and the mind. The Holy Trinity is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, all other beings on the earth are bipartite. They have a mind and a body. That's what separates us from the rest. And God intends us to be that way. He made us in His image for that particular reason. And we also have this ability that we can forgive and we can receive forgiveness. And I think that's the most important, and that's the hardest part, I think, of being a Christian. You know, when we really think about it, it's very hard. Forgiveness is a hard thing. And I think that without God's help, we can't do it. But God does help us to do that. But those are the things that I wanted to bring to you today. And I thank you for your attention. And I'll end it now with a prayer. Lord, our Father, we thank you for this day and your word. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that comes and abides with us. And Father, I ask that you go with us and be with us and bless us and protect us till we meet again. Amen.
If you would please stand for our last hymn, number 496, Sweet Hour of Prayer.